You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit lakings.com/podcast.
It gets out through center, rims it back in. Connors high slot. He scores! Kenny Connors with his first pro goal. Freely of Lanoue finds Connors high slot. He scores! Kenny Connors on a setup from Martin Kromiak in the high slot will blow it past Husso. And we got a fight at center ice. It's Connors. First fighting major for the rookie Connors, and he's doing pretty darn well. He lands a couple rights and he brings down Capone.
Hello, hockey fans. Cam McGuire back with you here alongside Paige Capistran for another edition of the Rain Check podcast brought to you by Rotolo Chevrolet and a live guest in person. Kings prospect and Ontario Reign forward right now, Kenny Connors. Kenny, let's like give a golf clap for you because this is a big deal for us. It might not be as a big a deal for you, but this is our first video podcast of the season and Paige, our first live guest as well. So we're excited to have you on.
Yeah, thank you, Kenny. And on an off day too. So thank you.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Yeah.
Well, we figured we just wanted to get to know you a little bit more and get the fans a little more familiar with you, one, as a hockey player, but with you as a person as well. Obviously, your first year in professional hockey, and you've been out now in Southern California for, little over 2 months now. So before we kind of get into some hockey chatter, how are you adjusting to, one, California living, and two, Southern California living?
Yeah, it's been great. Obviously, the area is great. It's a little weird, right? Like, December at home is usually the climate's a little bit colder, but it almost doesn't feel like Christmas time yet, but definitely adjusting, and everything's just been awesome. We live downtown in Hermosa and have great roommates, and everything's been a smooth transition.
We'll get into growing up in Pennsylvania as well. I think all of us kind of grew up on the East Coast, so we're familiar with the winter months. Your family kind of, when you talk to your family back in Pennsylvania, they ever ask you what the weather is today? I know I had a similar situation talking to my mom earlier this morning, and she's like, it's 12 degrees, and I kind of felt bad. I didn't want to tell her what the temperature was here.
Yeah, it's weird when you hear that it's like snowing in other places when you get outside here and it's 65 and sunny. But yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of people in the East Coast kind of appreciate the weather change. And just the different seasons, but I mean, I'm not having any difficulty adjusting with the beautiful weather here.
Absolutely. Well, let's get into the season a little bit for you as a whole. 19 games in right now as we chat with you, so you're pretty much a quarter of the way in. I know we've spoken whether it's off camera or after some games in our post game interviews. So I apologize if I'm being redundant, but how's it going for you? It seems like you've settled in pretty nicely in terms of playing on the ice.
Yeah, everyone here has made it easy, honestly. From the guys in the room, I have a bunch of good veterans that kind of helped, you know, with any questions and stuff like that. And then just Lordo and Schulz and Heider have done a really good job in kind of helping me with the systems and getting me up to speed early in the season so that, you know, I'm not overthinking as much in games, kind of can just go out there and play just because, you know, I know the systems a little bit better. You know, I think that playing in rookie tournament helped as well, and rookie camp, just kind of getting around those guys and, you know, learning the stuff so that when it is game time, I can kind of just play off of instincts at that point rather than, you know, thinking, do I have to be here or there, you know, overthinking. But it's been great. Everyone's been a big help.
What's been the biggest adjustment from the professional game, or I guess from the college game into the professional game from your eyes?
I think one would be the travel, especially Hockey East. We're playing teams in Boston, which is like an hour and a half bus ride, right? I think we flew maybe twice a year. So I think the farthest bus ride we had was Maine, 5 hours here. You know, we're flying a bunch. And I enjoy that. Like, it's been good. But it's definitely different. And then the other thing is just the amount of games that we're playing. College, it's usually Friday, Saturday. And it's a little bit weird if you're not playing Friday, Saturday. Here we've had some Tuesday, Wednesdays, and last weekend Friday, Sunday. Like, just the schedule is a little bit different. It's not as set in stone and rigid where it's like, you know, you're playing Friday, Saturday, and you have a set schedule throughout the week. here it's a lot different, but I enjoy it, like playing these games, you know, in practice at college where, you know, getting a little tired of hitting each other in practice all the time. Here it's, you know, we're still feeling good playing games a lot.
We'll go back to kind of right now in just a little bit, but Glen Mills, Pennsylvania, that's where you grew up. And anytime I think of Pennsylvania, I kind of just consider the state. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to ask you, like, Glen Mills, like, it's either close to Pittsburgh or it's close to Philadelphia. Like, when I think of Pennsylvania, I think of either, oh, like, if someone's like, I'm from Pennsylvania, I'm like, well, are you from Pittsburgh or are you from Philadelphia? So where in the heck is Glen Mills, Pennsylvania?
Definitely closer to Philly. I'm probably 20 minutes outside of the city. Pittsburgh's far. It's 4.5-hour drive. But yeah, whenever anyone asks, I just say I'm from Philly.
Philly?
Yeah. It makes it easier.
You ever been to Philly, Paige?
I have. Yeah. I played in like a tournament when I was 8. We did the Rocky steps.
Yeah.
But I feel like every team does that. So were you growing up, were you a Flyers fan?
Yeah.
And did you model your game after anyone?
I don't know if I was like at the age where I'm thinking like, oh, I want to model my game after these guys. But I really enjoyed watching players like Drew and Mike Richards. And, you know, the Flyers had some really good years there where, you know, they went to the Stanley Cup and lost the 1 year to the Blackhawks. But no, I went to a lot of Flyers games. I've kind of backed off of being a Flyers fan.
Good answer. Yeah. Because you're on a Kings podcast.
Yeah, but no, it was great. And obviously, like, the Flyers-Penguins rivalry was huge, especially when I was a kid. Like, I would get really excited for those games. But, yeah, it's a lot different now.
Tell us how you got into the game of hockey. I know it's big in the Philadelphia area. It's big on the East Coast as well. Was it, I guess, one, how'd you get into the game? And was it always hockey? What other sports did you play growing up?
Yeah. So my dad got me into it. He didn't play hockey growing up. He was a baseball player. But he started playing like street hockey with his buddies when he was, you know, however old. But took me for a public skate when I was like 4 years old. And I hated it. I couldn't skate, couldn't stand up, and I was just constantly falling. And he told me that he went to the pro shop, got these rental skates sharpened, and that I could, when I went back out, I could finally like stand and started to enjoy it. But it definitely wasn't always like just hockey. Yeah. I was playing baseball, played baseball the longest, but I played football, I played basketball. I was playing a bunch of different sports, and I never really spent like a ton of time in the summer going to like all these different tournaments. I was playing different sports, and I enjoyed that. I made good friends from school that I still talk to, and it kind of helped me be a better athlete.
Football. I'm going to guess what position. You seem like you would have been a quarterback.
Yeah.
What about baseball?
A shortstop and a pitcher. A wild pitcher, though.
See, baseball? Yeah. Baseball, I would have said first base.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, you're a little agile then. Shortstop back in the day?
I would pitch, but I was erratic. I'd throw hard.
You had the speed, but you didn't know where it was going?
Couldn't hit the strike zone very often.
But, I mean, back to kind of your first experience being on the ice, it probably helps when your skates are sharpened. You learn that pretty quickly.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, definitely. I don't remember it, but that's the story I've been told a bunch of times.
Are you picky? Like, with on that topic, are you picky when it comes to a certain way that your skates need to be sharpened or your equipment needs to be put on a certain way? Do you have kind of like a routine and all that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I came into school at UMass having my skates done a certain way my whole life, right? Like, I never really had like an equipment manager and stuff like that to like teach me about this stuff. So I got there and I changed a ton of stuff from when I got there to where I am now with my skates and stick and stuff like that. But before that, I was just like, you know, the standard cut, like just sharp.
Whatever. Yeah. Show up to the pro shop. Here's $10 kind of thing.
Yeah, it's definitely evolved a lot since then.
Well, we'll get into getting drafted by the Kings, obviously now joining the organization here in a little bit. But backtracking back to growing up, getting into the game of hockey, tell us where you played as a kid, and then we'll kind of get into the progression of ultimately ending up at UMass.
Yeah, I played at a different couple teams in the Philly area, played for the Quakers. That was my first team. Just my local rink. I still skate there and work out there, but played there growing up. Moved to the Junior Flyers. That's probably where I spent most of my childhood playing. Spent a little bit of time playing on the other side of the bridge in New Jersey. We had a good team that competed with, you know, some of the other high-end groups in the country. And then came back to the Junior Flyers when I was 15. Played there another year, and then I moved away to school in Rhode Island for a year. Mount St. Charles, that was the first year of that school, and I had a great time there. That was the COVID year, kind of ended our season in March or whenever it was, but had a great time. Like, had some really good friends that came with me there, and I made a bunch of new friends there too, and it was great.
You know what always confused me growing up was in that landscape, youth hockey in Philadelphia, they had the Junior Flyers and then they had the Little Flyers as well. Mm-hmm. And like, what was the difference? Was one better than the other? Was there
I mean, the Junior Flyers were better for my age group most of the time, but there's two different
ranks. It was the oddest thing ever. Yeah. And they didn't play at the same facility either?
No,
different facilities.
And I live in the middle of them, so it's like 15 minutes here for one and 15 minutes there for the other. And I think there's a third Flyers team now.
I'm sure there's six of them now.
Yeah. But I think that the one of the teams they used to play for, Team Comcast or Virtua, yep, they changed into Flyers Hockey Club or something that now. So
yeah, it's crazy. The landscape for youth hockey, I can't keep up with it anymore.
So when you were in youth hockey, were you always a forward? Because you play so well in the D zone. Were you ever a defenseman?
No, I've always been a forward. My dad used to get on me when I was younger, like, you got to stop being F3. Like, you're a forward, like, do something, like, forecheck more. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, I got to cover for this D here, like, whatever. But, no, I mean, sometimes, obviously, like, selfishly, I joke around, like, man, I wish I was a defenseman. Like, this looks easy sometimes, but I've always been a forward, played center most of my life, and I don't know. I guess I just started as a forward. I don't even remember having to, like, decide between the two.
You tell your teammates here, then, that defense is easy? I'm sure you go to Joe Hicketts, right, and tell him he's got an easy
job. Careful. I was a defenseman. So.
Yeah, maybe not Joe, but
maybe some of the younger guys.
The younger guys can hear from me.
Can joke around a little bit more with them. Mount St. Charles, so Rhode Island. And then after that, you spent 2 years in the USHL in Dubuque, Iowa. So you've continued to make your way westward. So we'll continue the conversation and progress westward. But I like to just go all over the place because then I want to go back east and go to UMass. But tell us about your time in the USHL with Dubuque. Obviously, 2 years there. You had been away at home, living in probably dorms at Mount St. Charles, but I think probably, and you can answer it, but when you go to Dubuque, that would probably be like your first real time living away. So that was probably maybe a challenge, but what were your 2 years like in Dubuque?
Yeah, especially my first year, it was tough. It was the pandemic, so it was, you go into the rink and there's nothing else. So you're straight to the rink and straight home.
And you were probably, 16, 17?
17.
17, yeah.
It was, there was no real camaraderie outside of the rink with the team, just because if you're getting tested every week and if you test for COVID, you're out for, I think, like 3 weeks at that time. So that year was tough. I mean, a lot of college teams were getting shut down, so college players were getting sent down to the USHL to play. It was difficult. I had a tough year. And then my second year, we had a new coach come in and had some good returning players, had some good new players coming in from Sweden and some other European countries too, but had a really fun year. Team was really good. I was playing more comfortable and confident and kind of how I felt like I should have been playing the year before. But the second year was what I was looking for compared to the first year was tough for me, honestly.
I think the second year there was really, for you, probably safe to say that it was kind of your big coming out party. Looking at it now, you had 25 goals that year. Your first year there, you had three. Your point total went from 18 to 56. So for you, that was a breakout moment for yourself. And then when did you commit to UMass and why UMass? What other schools were you looking at? What ultimately led you to, and I should preface UMass Amherst, not to get confused with UMass Lowell.
I committed before Dubuque. I was 16, I want to say. So I was a junior in high school. But yeah, I mean, I went to UMass, I toured some other schools, but I kind of just felt more at home with UMass. I enjoyed being in a town environment more than a city school like BU or BC.
Northeastern.
Yeah, exactly. Northeastern crammed up.
Gotcha.
But no, I really, that ticked a lot of the boxes, and the coaches did a really good job of recruiting, and they were winning at the time. That was when Cale Makar was there. They had some really good teams. But they do a really good job of developing their players and, you know, setting their players up for the best, you know, next step going into pro. But yeah, UMass was obviously, it felt obvious after I left UMass that was the spot where I was going to go.
What was your favorite Hockey East rink to play in besides UMass?
Maine? Maine was great. Maine's the older rink, right? But it's like the fans are on top of you. Super loud and good energy in there.
Yeah. 3 years at UMass. Kind of talk about your development from your freshman year all the way down to your junior year. I think it was your last 2 years you were the Iron Man. I don't think you missed a game your last 2 years.
I don't know if I missed
a game. Maybe in 3 years?
I don't think I missed a game in three. Well, I missed for the World Juniors, but I never missed for injury or sickness or anything like that.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. That's not a feat that everyone can say about. How are you able to do that? Like, how did you stay healthy throughout that whole time? And then going in as a freshman as well, I feel like it's pretty rare for a freshman to play every single game.
Yeah. Just a credit to the staff there. I think that our strength coach was really good, especially my freshman year. I had to put on some muscle and kind of ready myself for playing against older guys and more physical game than it is in the USHL. But the way that UMass plays and the style that we play, it kind of, you know, helped me. And obviously there's some luck that goes with that, staying healthy too. I've joked with my dad, it was towards the end of my junior year, at the end of last season, we were talking on the phone and he's telling me like, wow, it's like a blessing you stayed so healthy through all these years, and the next game I broke my foot.
Well,
and I'm like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking about, Dad? Yeah. Come on.
But no, I played through that, so I didn't miss any time, which is great. I mean, obviously you want to be out there playing.
Yeah. I was reading the other night, you obviously super close with Jared Wright. You guys live together here. I think he ended your guys' season 1 year, didn't they?
Yeah.
Should we end it now that I brought that up? I gotta leave.
Yeah, both.
Did you guys talk about that? Did he give you crap for that at all this year?
Yeah, but we played him 3 times and we've won 2. So, my freshman year, Denver came in and we swept them. That was, so I have that over.
So you got the edge on them there.
Yeah, but it's crazy. Both times that we played in the national tournament, we lost to the national champions.
The team who won.
Yeah.
Wow. And then World Juniors too. That's his. I feel like the World Junior Tournament, I remember growing up as a kid, like Christmas was almost identified with the World Junior Tournament. Bring us back to the moment you found out you were gonna be playing in that tournament.
Yeah, I don't even know. I mean, I going into it, I don't think that I was supposed to make the team, honestly. But I felt like I gave good effort and, you know, was doing what the coaches were asking during the camp. I think that they don't even really like announce like, hey, this is the team. It was kind of just like it dwindled down day by day. And, I was just trying to stay around as long as I could. And the team was great. Coaches were great. Coach Pecknell did a really good job in preparing us. Unfortunate way that it ended. That Canada game was tough. I don't know if we got some calls. You know, I thought we scored and they called them back, but that tournament was a blast. Like that game against Canada is probably the most fun game I've played in. The Halifax was sold out. super loud rink and just a fun game overall.
Was that the year they did, like, they played in Halifax and they played in, was it Montreal too?
We were in Moncton.
Moncton, okay.
So they split we spent our, whatever, round robin player, we spent a couple games playing in Moncton. And Canada's division was in Halifax.
Okay.
And we played and made it through our division and then went over to Halifax.
So, like, the medal round and kind of the playoffs, if you call it, was all in Halifax?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, you got, there's a couple of you guys on the Rain roster that have played in World Juniors. And with that coming up, too, I'm sure there's going to be some rivalries. And then, obviously, the Olympics coming up in February also.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Have you guys followed at all, like, the Olympic, what's going on right now, like, with the ice?
Yeah,
isn't
the
that
rink,
crazy?
Yeah.
Do you know what's going on?
No, what's going on?
Well, the rink, now I'm getting off topic, but who cares? It's a podcast. The rink isn't, like, and you correct me if I'm wrong, the rink isn't ready. Like, it sounds like the infrastructure of the rink isn't ready yet. And then the ice is going to be, like, 3 feet smaller than NHL. So, like, one, not
I
even is
that.
It going to be Olympic.
When did they announce that?
Like, it's been going on the last couple days.
Oh, God.
So now there's, like, discussion, like, whether, like, they're going to send the NHL players or not. I saw Biz had a tweet. He's like, just keep the Olympics in North America. Like, grow the game. And that would be crazy if they just, like, kept hockey in North America.
Yeah.
And the rest of the Olympics was in Milan.
Yeah, it is crazy, though, that they can't, you know, they've had all this time and they can't really set up a...
Yeah.
And it's not even going to be the right size.
Yeah. But, and then I saw, I think it was last night, Lundqvist on TNT. He was like, it's like at the end of the day, like, and I guess this question for you, like, would you notice if the rink is 3 feet smaller? Like, is it, I feel like 3 feet isn't like enough to like kind of raise your eyebrows. Like, maybe you would know. I know.
It is weird. Kind of going back to UMass, we play on a hybrid. It's between the Olympic
and NHL.
And there's, like, different sizes in college. Like, these rinks are not all standard NHL level. Like, I remember playing in Merrimack. It's, like, a smaller rink.
Smaller than, like, NHL?
Yeah, and UNH used to have bigger than, almost an Olympic, right?
Yeah.
But
they switched it back.
Yeah, UNH, it was like you're playing on a pond. Like,
huge.
You go in on the forecheck, and it's, like, the entire rink is open. But, no, I mean, I think that there definitely is a difference, especially when we would go into a place like UConn built a new rink, and that feels tight. And Merrimack had a rink that was felt smaller, at least. I don't know if it is, but the game is condensed, and it is a little bit different. I don't know if 3 feet will make a difference, but the difference in size definitely does play a factor.
Because World Juniors, like, those are Olympic, right?
No, they're
they're
just
normal NHL. I feel like I can't keep track anymore.
It's, well, I didn't even know the Olympics. There was an issue with the rink, so I'm out of the loop.
big time issue. Let's go into kind of not the present moment, but kind of Kings. You get drafted by the Kings, 2022 fourth round. Bring us back to that moment, where you were, the lead up into it. Did you kind of know you were going to be that? It was the Kings, because I think it was your second go around in the draft too.
So I didn't get drafted my first year just because of the year I had in the USHL. But that first year I still, you know, I kind of had been playing well before I was in Dubuque, and there was still a chance, like, maybe I'll go in the sixth or seventh or something like that, whatever. But didn't go then. So then the next year, I felt more confident that I would get drafted, but I wasn't going to throw, like, a draft party, right? Especially after I went undrafted the year before, like, just wasn't going to do it. So I was just sitting on the couch just like this. My parents are there, my grandparents, and out of nowhere, like, I'm literally watching the draft board, and Kings come up, and I had heard that they were one of, I don't even know how many teams, and it was kind of in the range that we were hoping for or expecting, and heard from Dubuque, and we had some good players on that team, and I really didn't know. And then, you know, see your name and whatever, check your phone, and I missed 10 calls from guys from the Kings, and But it was great, especially just being able to spend it with my parents and grandparents, like the people that have kind of gotten me to that point. It was special.
Are you like the third Kenny?
Yeah, yeah.
In the family?
Right. Yeah. My grandfather's Ken, my dad's Ken, and I am too, but different middle names, so not like a junior.
So you're like your official name, is it Kenny or Ken?
Kenneth.
Kenneth. Yeah. And that's all that's in the family, three Kenneth?
Kenneth.
Okay. Do any of your teammates call you Kenneth?
I've heard it like here and there.
In the background.
Yeah, but nobody like would come up to me and like talk to me as Kenneth. Or
yeah. So we shouldn't call you Kenneth on air?
No, not at all.
That's like people ask me. They're like, dude, my real name is Cameron. But I'm like, I've always gone kind of by Cam.
Yeah. I'm usually Kenny.
But I don't get like, I'm not like offended, but I'm like, I prefer Cam. But if someone's like, hey, Cameron, I'm like, hey, what's up? Like, but for your sake, like, if I was a hockey player playing, I'd want them to call me Cam, just similar to you.
Kenny for probably 95% of guys, and some people call me Ken, like some of my friends from home.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Okay, so back to kind of the Kings. You get drafted. Actually, I want to go back because, like, you mentioned they're announcing it and you hear Dubuque. And like you said, you're like, we had a lot of high-caliber players on our team. When you heard Dubuque, were you kind of, and it happened so quick probably too, but like you heard Dubuque, you're like, you kind of like perk up a little bit, like the hair on your arm stick up a little bit.
It was weird. It was just like, whoa, like, I mean, it's crazy. Like as a kid, you watch this stuff and then you're hoping it's your name.
Yeah.
And like to that point, the very next pick was my teammate. Like the pick after me, Ottawa took Stephen Halliday, who was just playing for the Senators last week. But yeah, it was crazy. I mean, obviously, like, you hear all these things and you're expecting or hoping for whatever, but, like, when you actually see it, it was just way different.
Yeah. And then, you know, after you get drafted, did you kind of come out this way for development camp right away?
Yeah. I think it was a day or two later, fly out, meeting everyone, right? Like, a ton of names to remember, and then right into development camp.
Was there anyone from that first day that you like specifically remember meeting them and having that like first, this is the Kings conversation?
I mean, I think we met Rob Blake as like a draft class. That was obviously really cool. I met Luke Robitaille a little bit after. That was crazy. And then I'm not sure. I think there was probably a Kings player or two, maybe Kopi or whoever, that came in and talked to the group before camp. And, you know, obviously, like, the whole day is like, wow, like, you know, what's going on almost. Yeah. It's kind of shell-shocking, but no, it was super cool.
Outside from the hockey yet, though, I think it's always cool to see, like, the different team activities they do because, yeah, it's about the hockey, but I feel like a lot of it, too, is more about getting to know people, whether it's bonding with other drafted players, other people at the camp, front office member, coaches. There's probably a lot to be said that it's about some of the on-ice stuff, but there is something to be said that it's bigger than that. And being here in LA, there's so much to do. Did you guys, whether it was that year, maybe years after, like, did you guys do anything great? Like, did you go to a Dodgers game? Did you go to Hollywood? Was there any activities outside of the hockey that you remember?
No, I know we have that beach day, which is really fun.
Yeah.
It's always funny because there's a guy or two every year that comes in the next day and is
sunburned,
like in pain, putting shoulder pads on. So
that's always terrible.
That's always fun. But no, I didn't realize how important development camp was for like just meeting people, I guess, until like it came in this year and you have rookie tournament, rookie camp. And I, you know, I've like met these guys and hung out with them before and it makes the transition a lot easier. Like Jack and Jared, I live with now, and I probably wouldn't have, you know, thought of that unless if I had hung out with them at development camp and stuff like that. So I guess I didn't really understand like how much development camp helps until you're like you're really out here.
Right. Going back to when you were at UMass, so you get drafted. I think it's always interesting. You're a drafted player playing in college. Like, what was your communication like in terms of people in LA? you know, were they during your 3 years at UMass, was there a contact of like, hey, we want you to work on this X, Y, and Z? What was the communication line and level like during those 3 years before ultimately signing?
Yeah, it was good. Obviously, like when coming back to development camp, I'd come out here and work with these guys and talk to Stoli and Mel and whoever else that, you know, had pointers for us and, you know, ask them what to work on and stuff like that. And they check in during the season, but they, you know, they, I think that they trusted the staff at UMass to kind of be hands-on with me every day and work with stuff. But there's a good mix where I can kind of text Stoli, like, hey, you know, I looking to get a little bit better at face-offs, like, what do you see? And then, you know, you have those guys that you're with every day at school. But no, it was good. It's not like the Kings guys are like hovering over every game, you know, like, hey, let's watch video on this because this isn't right. It's, you know, they check in, make sure you're doing well, you know, as a person, and, you know, they'll, you know, talk to you about the games and how they're going and stuff like that, too.
Talk about your decision 3 years and then you ultimately decide to sign. Was that a challenging decision last year to leave UMass with 1 year left and kind of what all went into that situation?
Yeah, it was weird, especially just because the NIL money kind of came into it. So it was tougher than I thought it would be, honestly, going into the year and even like going into UMass, I kind of had the, you know, like feeling like, hey, probably 3 years and then, you know, sign after that. But it was tough from whatever, January through the end of the season, just because of how close I was with a lot of guys on the team. It was just like, honestly, you could go back and it's not like you're turning down the contracts with money because now guys in college do get paid,
right?
So it's, obviously it's different, but it was a decision for me of like, okay, I'm going to have to leave this culture and these friends and all, but, you know, I had a good support system that I could talk to. I talked to my parents and talked with some guys from the Kings too about it and my agent. And it became a little bit more clear as time went on. But yeah, it was definitely tougher than I kind of anticipated just because of, you know, how close I was with a lot of the guys on the team almost. But no, I couldn't be happier with the choice. I'm having a blast this year.
He's 22. And like I kind of noticed this early on. I'm like, damn, he's like, you're intelligent. Like, were you straight A student, like high school, college? Like, am I crazy? Think like,
no, very, yep.
Were you straight, like, were you Mr.
Straight
A's?
Not straight A's, but, yeah, somewhere like A minus, B plus, like something like that.
So what did you study at UMass?
Sport management.
Okay.
But it was tough. Like, we had a lot of business, like, it's in the business school, so I couldn't just take, like, sports classes.
Yeah.
Like, I had to take law classes. Like, there's a good amount of stuff that was pretty challenging.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
seems
I mean,
harder than my comp classes.
It's easy to seem smart when you got some of these junior guys around here.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, we'll have to get some of those. We'll do some comparing.
Yeah, can bring Caleb Lawrence on here. And yeah.
I don't know, Paige. I think you got anything else you want to add? Or?
I did. Well, okay, so Jared and Jack, your roommates. Once Jared said you guys watch a lot of Friends. Is that
Friends?
Accurate? Yeah.
Not as a group. I've never watched as a group.
Maybe it's just Jared.
Maybe it is just him. I've never seen Friends at all.
Oh, so.
Really? Yeah. See, I had never.
That wipes my question.
I'm not a big like. That's okay. You like Friends a lot,
I'm a
don't
big
you?
Friends.
Yeah.
We do. Like, we try and watch. We watched like two, like one season shows, and they didn't finish after one season. It was like they just came out, and you're just getting
like you do that. You did that like. On purpose, or you didn't realize going
no,
in?
No, Jack recommended these two shows, and they're good, but it's like the
what
end of the
were
season.
What were they?
Your Friends and Neighbors and Mobland. And I'm like...
Mobland's unreal.
Mobland's good, but it's like the end. The show ends, and it's, okay, well, 2027, or like...
There's nothing worse, like a show like that. I've researched it, and they're like, yeah, there's going to be another season. It's like, okay, but when? Like, I need to, I want to know now. Like, it's either like next year or if it's 5 years from now. Like, yeah, there's so no set.
We had to draw a line in the sand with that. I can't do that anymore. But they watch Spider-Man. I don't watch that with them. I'm trying to think if we've seen any of the movies together. I think we probably have that I'm just not thinking of. Yeah. But the writer's got to work on his movie stuff and his TV shows.
It was like during the preseason game back in early October.
Friends.
So.
Yeah, he's.
I'll have to ask him.
His movie.
I'm like, I didn't make that up. I think he said Friends.
Maybe, but not with me. But his movie list and his TV show list. Ask him, have you seen this or this? No. I'm like, okay. He's like, oh, like, do you want to see my movie list? It's like Finding Nemo, Toy Story, like this. We got a lot of work.
He's all over the place.
Movies and TV shows.
We gotta tighten that up.
Trying to, yeah.
Toy Story is a good one.
But yeah, it's like he hasn't seen anything if it's not like Pixar or Disney.
All right, we'll have to ask him about that.
You got any other hard hitters? That was a good one. I like that.
Well, okay, another one. So you were 17 at UMass and here. Why?
Honestly, no reason at all. I just like the number.
Okay.
I was 25 growing up, all the way until UMass, because the captain there wore 25. But I wore 25 because it was like our old street address.
Okay.
It's 25 and I like Christmas. So I wore 25. All the way until college, and I'll probably try and be 17 as long as I can. But just like the look of the number.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Yeah,
that's a good tidbit. 25, I like that. So 25 in Dubuque, and then changed when he got to UMass.
Yeah.
Wore 25 because it was street, and he likes Christmas.
What would you wear if it was your street number?
Well, oddly enough, I wore 21. And guess what my street number was?
There we go.
21. But I didn't do it because of that. I don't know why I picked 21.
I want my street number 21.
Yeah. I don't remember why I did that. Huh. All right, that's all I got. You got anything else?
Thanks, Kenny.
Awesome. Yeah, appreciate the time. And watching, listening, whatever you're doing, we thank you for tuning in for another edition of the Rain Check Podcast, always brought to you by Rotolo Chevrolet.